Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Got a busy week here, lots to cover, but first things first, we got to welcome yet again back here with us, Paxton Quigley with Cannabis Healing. Paxton, good morning.
Well, good day, and hello to all of our Cannabis Healing listeners. Folks, I've got some news from this week that I think you'll be interested in. On March 21st in the state of Florida, the ban on smokable medical marijuana was lifted. Now, even though medical marijuana has been legal in Florida since 2014, smoking it was not permitted. Now, this ban on smoking, I got to tell you, was a hardship for many patients because the other permissible forms of consumption, like vaping and edibles, they are far more expensive. Also, the black market was still booming, and that was expensive. Hopefully, things will change now in Florida. Other news. Same day on March 21st, CVS Pharmacy announced that it'll sell CBD lotions and CBD dermal patches made from hemp. They'll have them in 8 states: Alabama, California, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Maryland, and Tennessee. As we know, many people are now using cannabis-derived products to alleviate chronic pain and many other conditions and illnesses. Today, we're going to talk about a condition which many people might like to avoid, but unfortunately is inevitable, and that is end of life. Now, people with terminal illnesses suffer a broad range of physical and emotional symptoms, causing other unpleasant struggles. Now, some physicians who truly believe in the Hippocratic Oath, they seek to make their patients as comfortable as possible in their remaining weeks or months. They often do so by enabling their patients to avoid the dangerous side effects often caused by these conventional treatments. Our guest today, Dr. Alan Frankel, is one such physician. He is one of the world's leading authorities on what is called dosed cannabis medicine. Dr. Frankel has been an internal medicine physician for 35 years, and I must say I am so honored to have him with us today. Dr. Frankel, welcome to Cannabis Healing.
Thanks so much.
And how are you today?
On the show. I'm great.
Thank you.
Here in Santa Monica.
Oh, well, good. And I'm in Florida, so we both got good weather.
Good sunshine, yeah.
Yes. Now, let's get serious. What are the conditions that would benefit from using medicinal cannabis for people in hospice care?
Okay, well, let's just spend 1 second differentiating what I think medical versus recreational is, because I don't think those are the best terms that we can use.
Okay.
That I'll be the one for changing. But to me, medical means that a professional that knows something about dosing and the patient both know what product they're taking, how many milligrams they're taking, so that there can be a follow-up call or follow-up message and make adjustments. Recreational, people generally don't know exactly what they're taking, but they're comfortable with cannabis, they're comfortable with THC, and they're doing more of a casual approach, while the medical is more what I would call focused. So I often use those terms. But as far as what types of issues with regard to end of life the cannabis can help is, first of all, pretty much any condition that any of us can have. One of the biggest issues at end of life, or two biggest issues, are probably pain and mood disorders, primarily anxiety. And anxiety around the end of life is a big, big issue. And cannabis is not going to be the last plant medicine, by the way. Mushroom psilocybin were just approved in Oregon, and it's going to get approved in the western states. And there's a lot of evidence, not that this is a cannabis answer, but psilocybin for the anxiety at the end of life, just people listening to know that there's going to be a future in that, a big future. With cannabis for end of life, I mean, as far as what types of products, it depends a lot, just like with any other patient, as to what their history with cannabis is, what their sensitivity to THC might be. But generally, if they're elderly people, you can start with, and I generally do, with whole plant CBD. Just to put it out there, it's one of my pet peeves for medical cannabis. We really need whole plant. We want the whole cannabis plant extracted and put into the bottle rather than the isolates or the, the isolates and the hemp CBD product do offer some benefits, but I think medically you want to get the whole plant as much as possible. Dealing with anxiety, pain, insomnia are probably the three major issues, and cannabis is great for all of them.
Now, how do you give it to them? As a tincture, smoke it? What is the way to do it? And, of course, it depends on the person, but what is the most common and maybe best way to do it?
I think the most common, the least involved in my practice, and the best for most patients, is a sublingual or oral buccal oil droplets that are dosed. So you can administer a quarter dropper, a half a dropper under the tongue every 3 or 4 hours, and use a little bit more THC or use a little less THC based upon the symptoms and the patient's tolerance. But this way you can give a couple milligrams at a time and not avoid getting into trouble, and then slowly increase it as the patient requires.
Yes. Now, I imagine that spiritual and existential suffering could also be alleviated by using cannabis when people are facing the end of their lives. Do you find this to be true?
Yeah, absolutely. Fear, anxiety, a form of PTSD, death is traumatic for most people. I mean, the people that I see that do the best with end of life are people who have a belief system. And the belief system can be a lot of different things. Certainly for many people, it's religious. But if they have a belief system, that helps people get through it. And, of course, having family support, that's one of the questions I always ask a patient when they're coming in and they're facing potential end-of-life issues. And by the way, end-of-life, sometimes you start cannabis and end-of-life is no longer end-of-life. I mean, we've seen people who were given 2.5, one of the most extreme was a patient who went to their oncologist, came back in, came to my office, started crying, told me she had 2.5 weeks to live, which is like, that's pretty crazy. And for doctors listening, don't tell people how long they have to live. I mean, we really don't know. And if you knew when I was going to die, I would not want you to tell me that. I don't want to know that.
Yes, you just said something that really interests me. You said that some people will start taking the cannabis and their illness goes away?
Or gets, I wouldn't say goes away necessarily, but gets better enough that we've had to pull them out of hospital so that we can get scans on them. So there are people who, and also, I mean, probably the majority of people that go into hospice were there for symptomatic palliative relief. But there are a number of patients where there's been a cascade of a number of issues that finally get them into hospice, and a number of those individual issues like pain, sleep, eating, I mean, very basic things, keeping hydrated and fluid, those end up being helped by cannabis, and all of a sudden, the patient is just not in the same situation. So I think cannabis for end of life, cannabis for hospice, at least in California, I have a number of patients in nursing homes now that in extended care facilities where I actually write what looks to me like a regular prescription and specifically says which cannabinoids, which dose, how they're going to take it, when they're going to take it. They have approved methods of administration. Even though that's technically probably a little bit crossing the line, these facilities, at least that I'm familiar with in Southern California, are respecting it. Schools are starting to respect it more. Of course, that's not an end-of-life issue. But yes, I mean, end-of-life use of cannabis, and tied closely into that is the use of cannabis to help minimize the use of narcotics. And, I mean, the number of people that I've seen that are close to hospice or basically close to end of life, they're taking a large amount of narcotics, and if you can get them off the narcotics and a few other their drugs and get them eating and sleeping, and I mean, a lot, that can change a lot. So So, yes, we can have people end of life that all of a sudden are living and comfortably living with a reasonable quality of life. And if I can't help the patient get a reasonable quality of life, I would never encourage somebody to suffer in misery. I don't see that, at least for myself. I don't see.
Are you opposed to opioid treatments then? And you would prefer to go the route of cannabis?
Well, I'm not opposed to opiates. I just think opiates should be used as little as possible. I mean, it's pretty obvious that we have a big narcotic problem in the country. And actually, last night, I met with two doctors from a local hospital that are into, one's an orthopedic surgeon, deals with a lot of complex and elderly people, and the other is the head of their pain management. And we're going to be doing some observational trials and maybe some clinical trials on using cannabis as a substitute for opiates in the perioperative period. And that's when a lot of people get hooked for the first time. They get Vicodin or Norco to help with a little pain, and they were a little depressed, and all of a sudden they're not depressed anymore and their pain's better. And, you know, in a few, 3, 4, 5 days, a week, and up in as little as a week, you can be way on your way to getting addicted to them. And CBD, whole plant CBD in particular, decreases the cravings for narcotics, cocaine, and alcohol. So even just using good quality CBD product in the perioperative period would be well worthwhile.
Well, I wish I could talk with you more and more. We're going to have you back on, Dr. Frankel. I appreciate you talking about this and letting our listeners know what's out there. And hopefully we can have you back again. And to all our Cannabis Healing listeners, thank you for being with us today. Please find us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn by searching for Paxton Quigley. Stay healthy and balanced, and stay in touch. I'm Paxton Quigley.